Good morning. It is good to be with you this morning, and we have been blessed with an incredibly beautiful day, and what a day to spend time together worshiping Him and focus on Him this morning as a family. Let me tell you, we live in an exciting time. If your point of view of life and things are not that way, you need to spend some time reading the end of the story. And the end of that story is a revelation. We win. And so it doesn't matter what is going on in the world. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. We win. And it's exciting to be a part of that process and that journey. And that's the reason why I want to encourage you to come be a part of VBS. Come volunteer to be a teacher on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. Being a part of the journey of where we're headed to as a congregation should excite you when you sit and begin to think about it, right? I look back over the last 4+ years that Janine and I have been here working with the congregation and being involved, and it excites me to be a part of your family and us growing forward together. Luke chapter 15 is where we're going to start in just a minute. I have here Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 18, which is really our theme for this year, right? One body united in Christ. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. And as I was preparing for my lesson, I thought, you know, I want to use a video this morning, and I was looking for something that was a little more intelligent, right? Something that would really share a message that would be high level, okay? And so I found something that's right up there where I think on a mental level, and I wanted to share that with you this morning.
Okay, go to stop for a bit.
Oh, come on, you want a story. Three sleepy kittens!
Oh no, sorry, that book was accidentally destroyed maliciously. Tonight, we are going to read a new book. This one is called One Big Unicorn. By who wrote this? Oh, me! I wrote it. Oh, look, it's a puppet book. Here, watch this. That's the horn.
This is gonna be the best book ever.
Not to pat myself on the back, but yes, it probably will be. Here we go. One big unicorn, strong and free, thought he was happy as he could be. Then three little kittens came around and turned his whole life upside down.
Hey, that one looks like me.
No, what are you talking about? These are kittens. Any relation to persons living or dead is completely coincidental. They made him laugh. Ho-ho! They made him cry. He never should have said goodbye. And now he knows he could never part from those three little kittens that changed his heart. The end. Okay, all right, good night.
I don't know if you looked at our theme this year and thought, why? Why? I think often in life we don't know we need something until it becomes a part of who we are. And that's what I thought about when I thought of this clip. Here's a man who, if you've ever seen this kid's movie, it's actually very enjoyable. But he adopts these three girls for his purposes. Very selfish. And it winds up being the best thing that's ever happened in his life. And so I want you to understand this morning as we take a look again at unity. And unity as a family. You may look around and think, I've got my immediate family. What do I need to be unified with anybody else for? And so that's the question where we want to take a look at this morning. And the ideal of fusion. To fuse together a family of God, to make us something greater than we are alone. The coming together of energetic objects with the result of explosive power. That's the definition of fusion. know, fusion is one of the hydrogen fusion is the thing that science says is occurring in our sun that puts out the power of life for the scientific processes on the earth, right? All set in place by God's mighty hand. So I wanted to share this with you here at the beginning too. In our lives, when we think about the things, we're not sure we even need them, right? That's just like when Janine started chasing me. I didn't know I needed her till I caught her, right? I don't know how she did that. She's pretty smart. Smarter than me, obviously, right? I remember that day she came knocking on my door, and I'm thinking, what in the world is she doing at my door? And she left with that beautiful little smile, headed off down the steps in the front of my little rent house there. I thought, huh. You know, it took me a minute or two to realize, oh, yeah. I was ready to chase her, you know. We don't always know. It's just like children, right? We know we want them, but until they begin growing in our lives, we come to realize we needed them more than we realized from the beginning. All the things that they bring into our lives, all the challenges that my two boys have brought to me, I didn't know I needed them until I had. Right? So we think about those things. And I want to be in a place where a type of fusion, where a type of a union begins to take place, not only between myself and my Savior and the Father, but also the body, the church that He calls His bride. Why would He ask us to be a part of that process is really the question, right? Why would He bring that into our lives? But before we answer that question, there's a couple of things that we need to know. A fusion between us as a body and the Father and the Son can only occur if we know the love, truly understand the love that God the Father has for us. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, begins to tell us this is Jesus Christ talking to the Pharisees. He's trying to give those people who are coming to Him in parables the picture of Himself and God the Father and what it is that's supposed to be occurring between us, right? So here we have the parables of those things that are lost. The chapter starts out with the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then comes to what we call the prodigal son, right? Which is really a bad title. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. That makes more sense, doesn't it? Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them these parables. Then in Luke 15, verse 12, this is what He says. But this is about the prodigal son, right? We remember the story. Prodigal son is at home. His father's very wealthy and his brother there. And he says, "I don't want to wait for all my money when my dad dies. I want it right now. I deserve it right now." Right? You've never met anybody like that, right? I saw this morning there was a little bit on there. Somebody is suing the Fitbit company, right? The little wrist thing that tracks your action. They're suing them because the heart rate monitor is not accurate. Really, people? It's not a doctor. It's not a nurse. Really? I want mine right now. That's the way they are, right? That's the generation that we live in. I want it and I want it now. $1 million for a woman who spilt hot coffee on herself from McDonald's. Really? What was that jury thinking? And that civil suit. $1 million. You know what? I want some coffee. Oh, I burned myself. I deserve $1 million from McDonald's. What in the world are people thinking, right? Give it to me now. But that's the way the world has always worked. We think the world is so much worse than today. Spend a little time in Roman history and you'll realize it's not quite as bad as you think. This is the way the world has always been. Dad, I want my inheritance right now. Then he runs off and spends it all, and he has nothing left, no friends, nobody around, and he's sitting in a pig pen, feeding the pens trash, and thinking, I want to eat that stuff. Yeah, that's a new high, isn't it? Look at that stuff. If you've ever been around a farm and slop pigs, man, that's a pretty disgusting thing. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger, and I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he rose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, now understand where we're at. He's made the decision to return to the Father, to come back to the one who supplied all of his needs. But while he was a long way off, the prodigal son ran to his dad when he saw him, right? Is that what it says? I was in a store here the other day and I heard this song. I guess they were playing some Christian contemporary music. And the line of the chorus said, run like the prodigal. And I thought, huh? Prodigal didn't run. It really kind of made me sad. Here's somebody who thinks he's a Christian, who understands the word, and he's writing a line, run like the prodigal. The prodigal never ran. It's a mistake. It really kind of made me angry inside, because it's a whole different picture from what Christ gives to us in the Scripture. We turn, we make efforts to come to the Father. When we sin, when we fall short of who we're supposed to be, when we do things that aren't quite smart, right? Like setting a later curfew for our teenagers on Saturday night than Friday night. My boys and I had this discussion just about 2 months ago. 2 months ago. The world sets a later curfew on Saturday than Friday. If we do that, then we follow the ways of the world. We're not thinking smart. Rise up. Return to the Father. Look to the one who supplies your needs. And who does what? His father saw him and felt compassion and ran. I should have bolded that word and put it in red and underlined it. And he ran. The Father, the God of heaven and earth, ran to the Son. And I want us to understand that more than anything in this world. But the Father looks at us when we turn to him, and he runs to us to embrace us. And he embraced him and kissed him, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before you. And here's the attitude of the one returning, right? Which is important. I know I've made these mistakes. I know I've plunged a dagger in your heart. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. Let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate together. We have to understand the God of heaven and earth is taking that opportunity to fuse his life to ours, to become a part of who we are in every decision and everything that we do. This is what he longs for. He waits for the moment that we begin to turn and look to him for wisdom and understanding and the way that life ought to go, so that he can run to us with gifts for life and godliness. to supply all our needs. It can only also occur between all of us, between the Father and the Son, if we know and understand the love of God the Son. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God. Now this is why we chose these verses. It's a big part of why we chose these verses as our theme for unity. Are these verses here? My mistake. That should actually say Philippians 2, 1 through 18 probably. I'm the one who did the banners. That's my mistake. I'll take it. I'll own it. It's mine. Verse 8, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, coming to the earth for you and I, because he let go of the beauty and incredible glory of heaven and sitting with the Father and being in a total communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit in a place that is beyond our imagination. And he gave all that up and he came here because he wanted to be united with you. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. In this, what we've just talked about, him being obedient to death on a cross, giving up everything so that he could come be a part of our lives. In this act, in the love of the Savior. I love the book of John here because of many things that it shares like this. But in this, verses 9 and 10 of 1 John chapter 4, in this the love of God was made manifest, made real, made alive, brought to earth and became human for us, was born and gave his life and died and was raised because was made manifest among us that God sent his only Son into the world. The Son is the living love of God. So that we might live through him. So that in our lives we can be fused energetically into a power that is beyond our imagination and capability to understand. To be more than what I am. And it doesn't matter how low I got with no shoes in a pig pen, wanting to eat the stuff that would make most people throw up, longing to fill myself with trash and dirt of the world. But because I know that there is a Father who would run to me, that his love is made manifest in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he desires for us to have a life through him. In this love, in this is love. And if we miss that, we've missed the entire point. In this is love. If I want to love my children, if I want to love my wife, if I want to do the things that I really need to do as a father and a husband, I will never reach those things on my own, because I am not what I can be if the love of Christ is made manifest in me by being united with him in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection to walk in new life, Romans chapter 6. So that we may live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us He gave first. He ran to us first. Paul says we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. And sometimes I think we forget that because we're so worried and we're so concerned about bringing people to this place right here and getting them in the water so that they can be baptized for the remission of their sins. They're baptized for the remission of their sins so that what? So they can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that they can be united with the Father. Paul, you've been given a ministry of reconciliation. Why? To be reconciled, to be united, to be fused with the Father of heaven and earth. To understand the power that there is in being a Christian in this life. And yet we sit around thinking, I can do it better. I'm smarter. I don't have to pray about that. I got this all under control. Until our pride makes us fall. Until we find ourselves in some low place thinking, how in the world did I get here? Why did I click that computer mouse again? Why do I have this little bottle wrapped up in brown paper? And those of you who understand, why am I holding K2 in my hand? Why do I have this pill bottle? One more time, I'm on my knees in the mud and the filth, and I've got to find a way out. And when you turn to the Father, when you look to the one who is the power of the universe, He doesn't wait for you to come running to Him. When you look to Him and when you come to your senses and realize there is a Father of everything that loves who I am and who wants to be a part of my life, that is when He will run to you. His words, not mine. Understand that. John 17, as our Savior was facing the cross, prayed for you and I. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Now he's talking about us. That all of them may be one. That they may be what? That they may be one. Why unity? Why one body? Why does the eldership here want us? Why do we desire for us as a body to make decisions together? Instead of being someplace else in the world, celebrating something else, to be together as a family of God. To share like the Christians of the first century, who broke bread in each other's homes daily, who are in the Word together, who just spent time enjoying each other's lives. Because I know, I guarantee you, because I'm kind of that way myself. My very first thought when I heard that it was being suggested that we change Wednesday night, I thought, why? Until it was presented to me, why? The reasons why. And we discussed that as an eldership. Because Jesus' prayer for us was to be one. And sometimes it takes some different kind of efforts to bring us together as a family. To share the time that the first century Christians did. You don't find Wednesday night in Scripture. But we want to hold on to that because we don't like anything to change. They met daily. To spend time together and sharing each other's lives. And so that's what we want to do as a congregation, to share each other's lives. And you can't do that if you're not here. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that I've got to hurry, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. There's a fusion taking place. That's His dream. That's His prayer for us, to be united as one body. That's His prayer for you. And you may not understand why. Why, just like the guy on Despicable Me. These girls are for my use. I don't need them. Until you get to be a part of something that you don't understand. when you're unified, when you spend time together in each other's life and you know what's going on, when you know the little things about people's lives, right? The little things that don't seem to matter, like Daphne Snyder hitting her first pitch at a ball game this last week. It was fun to see. It was fun to experience. Watching Abby hit two RBIs in. And I don't know how to explain to you how much fun it is to see to watch Gregory step up to the plate with the confidence that he has when his bat's in his hands. To watch Zach stand before a group of people and open up God's Word and read to them. Those are the kind of things that God wants us to experience together. When we go to LTC each year and we have those kids who do the play, is it about the play? It's absolutely not. It's about our young people learning to share each other's lives, to know that this is who I am. This is what I long to be, is a part of the bride, of the body that Jesus said, I long that they be one. That I am in you and you are in me, Father, as he prays, and that they would be in us. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Complete unity. Complete unity. Do you feel unified? Then the world will know. Why unity? Then the world will. You want to make a difference in somebody's life as a Christian. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you love me. Time together makes a difference. Can only occur when we are united in purpose. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united, if you have any encouragement of knowing and understanding that the Savior gave his life for you, that you might be fused with him and the Father, that you have a Father that would run to you when you stand out of the mire. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete. By being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. How many things have I grumbled about? Made negative comments about? As my friend Timothy Couch would have said when he was alive here years ago, sometimes I let my alligator mouth outrun my pea brain. It is funny. I let my alligator mouth outrun my pea brain. And I sat around griping about this or that. It's time for me to close my mouth and open my heart and decide to be united with the body of Christ. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will. Why did I choose the word fusion to talk about unity? Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. The NIV says stars in the universe, to shine. A power, a light that cannot be ignored. as you hold firmly to the word of life. The coming together of energetic objects with the result of explosive power is the body of Christ. Is this body of Christ. If we can help you this morning set your life right, united with Christ in the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection, to be raised in new life so that you can be reconciled to the Father, maybe it's time for you to stand in the mire and say, Lord, come running to me and share with me the gifts of life. Why don't you stand as we stand, stand as we sing together.
Have you a heart that's with